الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we have begun discussing the issue of شروط الحج. شروط الحج, the conditions of الحج. And we have seen that in discussing this issue here, there are three different matters to remember with regards to these conditions. شروط الوجوب وشروط الصحة وشروط الإجزاء. شروط الوجوب, conditions for the obligation of Hajj. And then likewise, شروط الصحة, they are conditions for the correctness of the Hajj. Conditions for the correctness of the Hajj, meaning that it will be performed correctly. And there are shurutu al-ijza, shurutu al-ijza. And al-ijza, what is intended by that is bara'atu dhimma wa suqutu al-talab, meaning that one would perform the right and the action in a manner that he will not be required to perform it again. And he would have fulfilled that responsibility and fulfilled that duty and not be required to repeat the same action of worship over, and not be required to repeat the same action of worship over. This is called al-ijza. Al-ijza. And the meaning of that, or what is intended from that, is bara'atu dhimma, meaning that the person is free of blame and responsibility. Wa suqutu al-talab. Suqut al-talab, meaning he's not required to perform it again. He's not required to perform it again. In our previous class, we have seen that there are five conditions. Five conditions that the people of knowledge, they discuss with regards to the Hajj. And in the origin here is that we're discussing shurut wujub al-hajj. But likewise, these other issues are included. And some of the people of knowledge, they have mentioned in some lines of poetry, al-hajju wal-umratu wajibani, al-hajju wal-umratu wajibani fil umri marratan bila tawani, bi sharti islamin kada huriyya, aqlin bulugan kudratin jaliyya, aqlin bulugan Aqlin bulugin kudratin jaliyya. That the Hajj and the Umrah, both of them are obligatory once in a lifetime. Yani without delay. And this is with the condition of al-Islam. And likewise of being a free man. And also having a sound mind. And being of the age of puberty. And having the ability, having the clear ability to perform the Hajj. So in our previous class, we had begun discussing these issues, and we discussed the issue of al-Islam, and we've seen that it's not an obligation for those who disbelieve to perform the Hajj. Rather, it's an obligation for them to accept Islam first and foremost, and then after that, they'll be required to perform the Hajj, although they're held accountable for leaving off these affairs, and in the hereafter. And it's not even allowed for a non-Muslim to enter Mecca, never mind perform the Hajj. And if he performed the Hajj, it will never be accepted from him. And in the ninth year of the Hijrah, Amr Wufud, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to make the Hajj with the people, from that which was proclaimed in those days and in that time, and that which was announced and broadcast and spread amongst the people, is that Allah yahujja ba'da hadhil am mushrikun wa la yatufu bil bayti iryan, that no mushrik, no pagan, no disbeliever, he will make Hajj after this year. And no one will make tawaf around the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla without yani bare naked. And no one who is bare naked will make tawaf around the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, meaning after this year. This is something that was proclaimed. So this is the case. Islam is a condition for the obligation and likewise for the siha. Wujub shartun li wujub al-hajj, shartun li wujub al-hajj wa li sihatihi. And also we've seen the second condition is al-aql, and that is to have a sound mind. And that is to have a sound mind. And the one who does not have a sound mind, he is considered majnoon. The opposite of the aql is the majnoon. The majnoon or the ma'tum. The one who has in a state of insanity, wa'liyadhu billah. So if his people were to make hajj with him, his hajj would not be accepted. First and foremost, it's not an obligation for the one who is insane to make Hajj. This is shartun, yani al-aql, shartun li wujub al-hajj, and also shartun li sihhat al-hajj. So if they did make, even if they did take the person who is insane along with him on Hajj, and they took him through all of the rites, it would not be correct from him, and nor would it be accepted. And if the individual ever regained his sanity, he would have to make Hajj. He would have to make Hajj, and it would not be considered correct. And this is because the sound mind is a condition for the correctness of all of the actions. And a person, he has to have an intention. And the one who does not have a sound mind is not able to intend. إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. And this is the case, and this is the origin. So we've seen the evidence for that likewise was the hadith that's narrated from a number of companions. Who remembers? The evidence for this? رُفِعَ الْقَلَمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثٍ. The pen has been lifted from three. رُفِعَ الْقَلَمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثٍ. عَنَ النَّائِمِ حَتَّى يَسْتَيْقِظْ وَعَنْ عَنْ الصَّبِيحَ حَتَّى يَحْتَرِمْ وَعَنْ الْمَجْنُونَ حَتَّى يَفِيقْ أو يَعْقِلْ أو يَفِيقْ. So this is the narration, which is the clear evidence for this, that the pen of accountability has been lifted from three types of people. The one who's sleeping until he wakes up, meaning he's not accountable for what he says and what he does. Yani he's not going to fall into sin for that. He will not fall into sin for that. And likewise, the child until he reaches the age of puberty, and also the one who is in a state of insanity until he comes back to sanity. Until he comes back to sanity. So the pin of accountability has been lifted from these people. So we see the evidence clearly. It's not an obligation. It's not an obligation. رُفِعَ الْقَلَمِ يعني قَلَمَ التَّكْلِيفِ عَنْ ثَلَاثِ. That the pin of accountability has been lifted from three. And he said, these three people, if they had did something that is haram, or even considered disbelief, for example, but they did it in this state, they're not held accountable. And likewise, it's not an obligation for them to perform anything while they're in that state. While they are in that state. So this is the evidence for that. After that, likewise, we had discussed the issue of al-balugh, and this is where we stopped. We had begun discussing the condition of al-balugh, and we've seen that al-balugh is shartun liwujubi al-hajj, walaysa shartan lis-sihha, walaysa shartan lis-sihha, lakinnahu shartun aydan li al-ijza, al-ijza. So reaching the age of puberty, this is a condition for the obligation of al-hajj, meaning that the one who did not reach the age of puberty, it's not an obligation for him to make Hajj. But it's not an obligation for the correctness of Hajj. Meaning that if someone who was below, before the age of puberty, he made Hajj, then his Hajj would be considered correct. But it is a condition for Al-Ijza'. It is a condition for Al-Ijza'. Meaning if he did make Hajj, it would be considered correct, but it would not suffice him for the obligatory Hajj that he must perform once in his lifetime. So therefore, although it would be correct from him, a sabi, for example, a child, he made Hajj properly, a child before the age of puberty, he made Hajj properly, it would be accepted from him, and he will have a reward for that, and those who made Hajj along with him and encouraged him to do that and helped him upon that, and from his guardians, they will likewise have a reward for that as well. But it would be considered a non-obligatory Hajj in his case. It would be considered a non-obligatory Hajj in his case. And therefore, if he reaches the age of puberty, he would have to make Hajj again, the obligatory Hajj, if the conditions come upon him after reaching the age of puberty. After the reaching the age of puberty. So somebody say, well, what's the difference between the Sabi and the Majnun? How come the Majnun, his Hajj is not accepted, and the Sabi, his Hajj would be accepted? And this is the people of Nar, as they mentioned, first and foremost, because there's evidence here. First and foremost, there's an evidence clearly, there's an evidence clarifying clearly that the child, his Hajj is correct. And we had taken that in the previous class. And that was the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and imra'atin rafa'at sabiyan laha, rafa'at sabiyan laha, faqalat ya Rasulullah ali hadha hajj, qala na'am, walaki al-ajr. And the Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he mentioned that there was a woman, and she raised up a small boy. She raised up a small boy. In some narrations, she raised him up by his arm. Any indication that he's a baby. Any that this first and foremost is a woman, and she's raising him up by his arm in this manner. So indicating that this is a baby, not even necessarily a small child of the age of tamyiz. So the issue here is that it's a baby, a child, a very small child that a woman is able to raise up with her hand in this manner. And she says, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, abi hadha hajj? Does this one have Hajj? And is he considered to have performed Hajj? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Naam, walaki al-ajr. Yes, and you will have the reward. Yes, and you will have the reward. So this is an evidence here for an exception to the principles that have preceded, that the bulugh is a condition. And even for the rest of the actions of worship, whenever bulugh is not a condition, but at tamyiz will be a condition. So here, bulugh nor tamyiz is a condition for the correctness of hajj. And this is an exception with regards to hajj and umrah only. With regards to hajj and umrah only, and this is the evidence for this. Rafa'at imra'atun sabiyan. A woman, she raised up a young boy, a little boy, and he's the sabi. So this one, he's before the age of tamyiz. This is what is clear from the narrations. Whenever they're gathered and examined, that it's a child, a young child, any before the age of tamyiz. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirmed that his hajj will be correct, and that she will have the reward for taking him along with him, Likewise, this narration is found in Sahih Muslim, also collected by Bukhari from the hadith of As-Sa'ib ibn Yazid radiallahu anhu. He said, "Hujja bi." مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنا ابن وابن سبع سنين. That I was taken on Hajj along with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم while I was 7 years old. حج بي. يعني they took me on Hajj. They took me on Hajj. Whenever I along with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم whenever I was 7 years old. So these narrations here, they clarify that the child who is under the age of puberty, even the child who's under the age of tamyiz, likewise, if he is taken on hajj and the sacred rites are performed on his behalf, or he will perform them according to his ability, and that which he can perform, he will perform them, and that which he cannot perform, they will be performed for him, then his hajj will be considered correct. But it will not suffice him. It would not suffice him for the obligation of making hajj once in a lifetime. We understand that. It will be considered correct, but it will be considered a non-obligatory hajj. So likewise, it has been collected by Ibn Abi Shayba, and also by Al-Bayhaqi, by Ibn Abi Shayba fi Musannifihi, wa Al-Bayhaqi fi As-Sunan Al-Kubra, from the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَيُّمَا الصَّبِيٍّ حَجَّ ثُمَّ بَلَغَ ثم بلغ الحنثة فعليه أن يحج حجة أخرى. أيما الصبي حج ثم بلغ الحنثة فعليه أن يحج حجة أخرى. That any child who made Hajj and then he reached the age of puberty, it's incumbent for فعليه. We took this term likewise last time in the previous class. فعليه, this is from the words of الوجوب. من سياق الوجوب. من أقواها. من أقوى سياق الوجوب. فعليه أن يحج حَجَّةً أُخْرَى. Then it's an obligation for him to make another hajj. Any child that made hajj and then he reached the age of puberty, it's an obligation for him to make another hajj. It's an obligation for him to make another hajj. So this portion is clear here. So we understand now about the bulugh. It is a shart لِوُجُوب وَشَرْط لِلْإِجْزَاء وَلَيْسَ شَرْطًا لِلْصِحَّةِ. We understand this point. It's a condition for the obligation, meaning it's not an obligation for the child who's under the age of puberty to make hajj. And it's a condition for the obligation. So meaning it's not an obligation for the child who's under the age of puberty to make hajj. And it's a condition for al-ijza, meaning if he did make hajj, it would not suffice him. It would not suffice him. And for his obligatory hajj that he must perform once in a lifetime. For his obligatory hajj that he must perform once in a life, it would not suffice him if he's below the age of puberty. But if it's not a condition for a siha. So meaning that if he made hajj properly, it would be considered correct. He would have the reward for that. He would have the reward for that. And likewise, those who make hajj with him will have a reward for that. So bulugh is not a condition for the correctness of hajj. We understand. Some people seem like they understand, and others seem like they don't know what's going on. Maybe we're still at home. We want to understand. من يريد الله به خيرا يفقه في الدين. نسأل الله الكريم أن يفقهنا جميعا في الدين. So we want to have an understanding in the religion. So this is from the foundations and the basis of that, to understand these principles. So then Hajj is, bulugh is a condition for the obligation of Hajj and for the fact that the Hajj would suffice a person for his obligatory, for the performance of the obligatory, right? And it's not a condition for the correctness of that. for the correctness of that. The people of knowledge, they have a consensus. They have a consensus of the one, the sabi. If he prayed, for example, dhuhr, a child who's mumayyiz, a child who's mumayyiz, seven, a child who is, for example, 10 or 12 or the likes, or 13, and he prayed dhuhr. And then in the same time of dhuhr, after that, before asr, he reached the age of puberty. That, now it's an obligation for him to pray dhuhr. The first dhuhr that he prayed was? He prayed dhuhr. He prayed dhuhr. For example, he came to the masjid with his father, and he prayed dhuhr with his father while he's a sabi, while he, before the age of puberty. Before the age of puberty. On that same day, before the coming of the next prayer, before asr time, he reached puberty. He reached puberty. Now it's an obligation for him to pray dhuhr. There's a consensus about this. Because now he prayed it before, and he prayed it, and it was considered a non-obligatory prayer for him. Whenever the child before the age of puberty, he prays an obligatory prayer, it's considered non-obligatory for him. It's not obligatory for him to pray the prayer. So whenever he prays, it's considered nafil for him. So if he reaches the age of puberty in that same time, there's a consensus that he must pray that prayer again, to fulfill the obligation. So along with what has preceded, there's also qiyas here. Yani that likewise, since this is the case in the salah, and there's a consensus with regards to that, then likewise in the case of the hajj, but also there's clear evidences here clarifying that, and he mentioning this in detail. The fourth condition is al-hurriya, and it's similar like this with the child. The ruling is the same, and the understanding is the same, and even in the same narration of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, the narration continues, وَأَيُّمَا عَبْدٍ حَجَّ ثُمَّ أُعْتِقَى فَعَلَيْهِ أَنْ يُحُجَّ حَجَّةٍ أُخْرَى. And any slave who made hajj and then he was set free, then he must make hajj again. So similarly like the child. So the ruling is the same as the child. Yani the one who was in slavery and he made hajj while in slavery, and then later he was set free, then it's upon him to make hajj again. So then hurriya is a condition for wujub. It's not an obligation for him to make hajj while in the state of slavery. And it's the condition for al-ijza, meaning that if he did make hajj, it would not suffice him in performing the obligatory rites of hajj. But it's not a condition of siha, meaning if he was a slave and he made hajj, it would be considered correct. It would be considered correct, any meaning that he performed the action correctly. He would have a reward for that, but it would be considered a non-obligatory hajj in his case. And if he's set free, then he will make hajj, yani, he'll make hajj again, yani, for the obligation of fulfilling the fifth pillar of al-Islam, making the sacred rites of hajj. So this is al-Islamu wal-aqlu wal-bulugh wal-hurriya. The last condition, from the most important conditions, is the condition of al-istita'a. Al-istita'a, or they say al-qudra. Al-istita'a, yani having the ability. And this is from the greatest conditions, and that which indicates that, from the greatest conditions of the obligation of hajj, and that which indicates that is that Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned it directly in his book. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. That it's an obligation upon mankind to make the pilgrimage to the house of Allah for the sake of Allah. It's a right that mankind owes and a duty to Allah that's incumbent upon them to perform for the sake of Allah for those who have the ability. Man istata'a ilayhi sabila, for those who have the ability. So this is mentioned directly in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, there's another evidence in the Sunnah which mentions this condition here directly. What's that? Huh? Hadith Jibreel alayhi salam. Naam. How does it go? Whenever he said, Akhbirni an al-Islam. Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-Islam. Tashhad an la ilaha illallah. Wa anna Muhammad rasulullah. Wa tuqima salata. Wa tu'tiya zakata. Wa tusuma ramadan. Wa tuhujja al-bayta. In istata'ata ilayhi sabila. In istata'ata, that's the portion that we need here. In istata'ata ilayhi sabila. So even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned this condition here also. Whenever Jibreel, he came to him alayhi salam, and he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to inform me about al-Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he responded, and he said, al-Islam is to bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and that you establish the salah, and that you pay the zakat, and that you fast the month of Ramadan, and that you make the pilgrimage to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, if you're able to. If you're able to. In istata'ta ilayhi sabila. So this is one of the greatest conditions, and this is the reason for that and the clarification of that. And it's the condition that has the most details likewise. The most details likewise. But the al-istita'a is shartun lil-wujubi fahasbu. Shartun lil-wujubi fahasbu. It's only a condition for the obligation. Meaning it's not a condition for the correctness of Hajj, and it's not a condition for al-ijza' likewise. So what does that mean? Al-istita'a, having the ability physically and financially. We're going to go to the details about that inshallah. But just now, physically and financially, is a condition for the obligation of Hajj. But it's not a condition for the correctness of Hajj. Nor is it a condition to fulfill the sacred rites of the obligation of performing Hajj. What do we understand from that?
Someone that paid for you to go to Hajj. Someone could give you the money.
Somebody gave you the money to go for Hajj. Yeah, but now they made you able. Sah. Yani? That's one aspect, yeah.
If you perform it even though you didn't have the ability to do it.
Yeah. Man takallafa. Yani he doesn't have the ability to do it, but he did it anyways. Mm-hmm. He went through great hardship that's not upon him, physically or financially. Maybe he took a loan, maybe he got some money, maybe he begged the people, maybe he just whatever he did, he found a way, and it was not obligatory upon him, and he went through great hardship and burdens to get to Mecca and make Hajj. Huh? Is that obligatory for him to do that? No, it's not obligatory for him. If he did it, would it be considered correct? Yes, if he did Hajj like this, would he have to make Hajj again? No, because this condition, in istata'ta ilayhi sabila, if you have the ability, this is a condition for the obligation of Hajj, not a condition for the correctness of Hajj, and not a condition for the ijza', meaning that it would suffice on the obligation, meaning that it would suffice, it would fulfill him, it would free him from blame. It's not a condition to free him from blame. So meaning if a person, he did make Hajj, even though he's not able to, for example, somebody who's in a wheelchair, he's very sick, maybe he has bags with him and the likes like this that he lives with, or is on oxygen and the likes like this. And may Allah protect us and our families and grant us good and strong faith and health and cure the sick believers. But if a person, he was in that condition, for example, it's not an obligation for him to make Hajj. It's not an obligation for him to make Hajj. But if he did anyways, he got on a plane and he went to Mecca, and he's in this state, and they're carrying this bags around with him, and he's moving on this wheelchair like this, and he made Hajj until he's finished, then his Hajj would be considered correct. If it was his first time in his life, it would be considered he had fulfilled those great rites. Although it's not obligatory. So then, to summarize from these five conditions, two of them are shartani lil-wujubi wa siha. What are those? Al-Islam wal-aqil. Al-Islam wal-aqil. So this is a condition for the obligation of Hajj and for the correctness of Hajj. Wa shartani lil-wujubi wa ijza'. And two conditions also for the obligation and also for fulfilling the obligation and removing the requirement or responsibility. And that is? Al-Bulugh wal-Hurriyah. So Al-Bulugh wal-Hurriyah, there are both conditions for obligation, but also there are conditions for ijza'. So it's not obligatory for the one before Bulugh, nor the one who is in slavery to make Hajj. But if he made Hajj, it's correct, but it would not suffice him and remove the obligation or the responsibility of making Hajj once in a lifetime. And then there is one condition that is a condition for the obligation only. And that is al-istita'a. That is al-istita'a. You understand this? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So the issue of al-istita'a. The issue of al-istita'a or kudra, the people of knowledge, they mention that this is in two types. They have al-qudra al-maliyah wal qudra al-badaniyah. القدرة أو الاستطاعة المالية financial ability والقدرة أو الاستطاعة البدنية physical ability. So to summarize in the beginning, there are different categories of people with regards to this condition. There's somebody who is financially and physically able. Financially and physically able. قَادِرٌ بِمَالِهِ وَبَدْنِهِ قَادِرٌ بِمَالِهِ وَبَدْنِهِ He has the ability financially and physically. And he meets the rest of these conditions, then it's an obligation for him to make Hajj. It's an obligation for him to make Hajj. Yani immediately, as has preceded. Yani as soon as the season comes for him. The opposite of that. Al-ajizu bimalihi wa badanihi. Huh? We understand? The one who does not have the ability, not financially and not physically. He's the complete opposite. So the first category of people, he's the one who has the ability to make Hajj physically and financially. It's an obligation for him to make Hajj. If the rest of if these other conditions are met along with this. And then opposite from that, the second category or condition or state of a person may be in, he's not able to, not financially and not physically. Not financially and not physically. What's the ruling for him? Hajj is not an obligation upon him. It's not an obligation upon him. If he died and he never made Hajj, he will not be held accountable for that. He will not be held accountable for that. This is from the ease and the religion and from the completion and the perfection of al-Islam. And then you have the one who is qadirun bi malihi, ajizun bi badanihi. We have in the Nazair. Qadirun bi malihi, ajizun bi badanihi. The scholars, they say al-gharat tahta lagat. So the teacher, he's supposed to ask the students to be calm and quiet and not disturbed, but we can't say nothing about this yesterday. Allahum yasir. Qadirun qadirun bi malihi qadirun bi malihi ajizun bi badnihi. This is the third state a person may be in with regards to this. He's able to do it financially, but he's not able to do it physically. He's not able to do it physically. Here there's details. And this physical disability, if it is permanent, then it's an obligation for him to pay for somebody to make Hajj on his behalf. If the physical disability is not permanent, it's not allowed for him to pay somebody to make Hajj on his behalf. He has to wait until that disability is gone. This is just, we're going to summarize now in general, then we go back to the details, inshallah ta'ala. The opposite of that one, which is qadirun bi badanihi, ajizun bi malihi. This one, what's the ruling? It's not obligatory upon him. It's not obligatory upon him. The one who is, he has the ability physically, but he doesn't have the ability financially. It's not obligatory upon him. Nor is it obligatory for him to go search for livelihood in order to make Hajj. It's not obligatory for him to make Hajj. The one who is physically strong and he's able, but he does not have the finances to make Hajj. It's not obligatory for him to make Hajj. Nor is it obligatory for him to go get an extra job. Nor is it obligatory for him to save up money. Nor is it obligatory for him to make a loan. Nor is it obligatory for him to sell some property. It's not obligatory upon him. It's not obligatory upon him. Understand this? That's for the one who he's physically able and he's not financially able. So if he died in that state and he never performed Hajj, there's no blame on him. There's no blame on him because the obligation is not there. The responsibility is not there. So this is the general understanding of the condition of al-istita'ah. So with regards to the al-qudra al-badaniya, that one, he has to have the physical ability. Meaning he has to be healthy. He has to be strong. He has to be able to travel, to make Hajj. Any meaning, for example, for a study, he has to be able to ride on the airplane. After that, he has to be able to ride in cars. He has to be able to go from the sacred rites, from one place to another. He has to be able to make tawaf. He has to be able to make say. He has to be able to do these sacred rites and to perform them physically. He has to have that ability. He has to have that ability. If he doesn't have that ability, then he does not have the physical ability. So maybe he's old. For example, somebody who's old and he's weak, he's not able to. This one, he would be considered not able to physically. He'll be considered not able to physically. Somebody who's sick, for example, has a permanent sickness. Somebody who has a permanent sickness that does not, it's not expected or hoped to go away. لَهُ مَرَضٌ لَا يُرْجَى لا يرجى برؤه. Similarly, like the issue of fasting that we had that had preceded those conditions. Likewise, the one who has a sickness that is not hoped to ever be cured, and this sickness prohibits him from traveling or from making these sacred rites. Likewise, this one he's not able to physically, and this is so this is what is intended. The one who is old and he's not able to because of old age, or the one who is sick and he has a permanent sickness that will prohibit him from making Hajj, but he is financially able. This person here, it's an obligation for him to pay for somebody else to make Hajj on his behalf. It's an obligation for him to send somebody to make Hajj on his behalf. And there's details on that person who will go on his behalf likewise. And generally he has to be a Muslim and he has to be reliable. And he has to know how to make Hajj. He has to know how to make Hajj. So then the one who has the permanent sickness, then, or the one who is old age and the likes like this, this is, and he's financially able, this is the one who must pay for somebody else to make Hajj on his behalf. It's called Hajj al-Badl, أو النيابة, أن ينيب غيره عنه, that he would pay for somebody else to do those rites on his behalf. To do those rites on his behalf. As for if it's somebody who is sick, but the doctors are saying that, you know, your sickness will go away, or he's physically not able to now, but it's hoped that it will go away after 1 month, 2 months, 1 year, 2 years, whatever the case is like this, it's not allowed for him to send somebody to go on his behalf. It's not allowed for him to send somebody to go on his behalf. Even some of the scholars have mentioned about those people who have who are in prison for a life sentence. Shaykh Sulaiman al-Ruhaili, Hafidhullah, he mentioned a fatwa about this. Somebody who's in prison on a life sentence, and he's physically able. It's not allowed for him to pay somebody else to go on his behalf, because maybe he will get out. He doesn't know. Many times these court cases are overrun, and maybe after 20 years or 10 years or so on and so forth, he'll get out. He'll get out and he'll be able to make Hajj on behalf of himself. So therefore, this person is not allowed for him to pay for somebody else to make Hajj on his behalf. To pay for somebody else to make Hajj on his behalf. So the one who is financially able, and he wants to make, he wants somebody else to make Hajj on his behalf. What is his state? The one that's allowed for him to make to have somebody make Hajj on his behalf. Who is that?
It's the sick one.
The one who's sick and it's not hoped that he's going to cure, or the one who's reached old age and he's not physically able. So he's like the sick person likewise. So old age is not going to cure. And he's the one who becomes old and he's not able to move and to travel and the likes of this because of old age. This is a sickness that does not go away. And likewise, somebody who actually has an illness that does not go away, or it's mentioned by the reliable doctors that it will not go away, this is the one who's allowed to pay for somebody to make Hajj on his behalf. Other than that, it's not allowed to pay for somebody to make Hajj on his behalf. It's not allowed for somebody to make Hajj on his behalf. So this is important. Likewise, Umrah. The same ruling is with Umrah, Hajj and Hajj and Umrah. The people of knowledge, they mentioned Ibn Qudama. He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَلَا يَجُوزُ الْحَجُّ وَالْعُمْرَةُ عَنْ حَيٍّ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ فَرَضًا كَانَ أَوْ تَطَوَّعَ لِأَنَّهَا عِبَادَةٌ تَدْخُلُهَا النِّيَابَةً فَلَمْ تَجُوز عَنْ الْبَالِغِ الْعَاقِلِ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ عَنْ الْبَالِغِ الْعَاقِلِ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ كَالزَّكَاةِ. So it's not allowed to make Hajj. Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, he says, it's not allowed to make Hajj or Umrah on behalf of somebody who's alive. On behalf of somebody who's alive, except with his permission. It's not allowed to make Hajj or Umrah on behalf of somebody who's alive, except with his permission, regardless of whether it's obligatory or not obligatory. And this is because this is an action of worship. To replace somebody is allowed. It's allowed to replace somebody in this action of worship. So therefore, it's not allowed to do this on behalf of somebody who reached the age of purity and he has a sane mind, except with his permission, just like zakat. So likewise, for the one who's going to make Hajj on behalf of somebody else, he has to have their permission. He has to have their permission if they're alive. If a person, he wants to make Hajj or Umrah on behalf of somebody who's alive, he can't just simply do that. He can't just simply be like in Mecca, for example, and say, I'm going to make Umrah for my mother and his mother back home, and not tell her nor have her permission. If he did that, it would not be considered for her, it would be considered for him. It would not be considered for her, it would be considered for him. It will only be considered for her after he has her permission and that she allowed that. Likewise, the one who's going to have somebody make Hajj on their behalf, he has to be a Muslim. And he has to be Aqil, and he has to be Baligh. And also he has to, already made Hajj before. He has to already made the obligatory Hajj on behalf of himself before. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he heard a man saying, Allahumma hajjin an shubruma. That he said, oh Allah, I'm going to make Hajj on behalf of Shubruma. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, man Shubruma? Who is Shubruma? So he said, it's a brother of mine. So he said, did you make Hajj on yourself first? He said, no. He said, make Hajj on yourself first, and then after that, make Hajj on behalf of Shubruma. And so this is a narration clearly clarifying likewise that if a person wants to make Hajj on behalf of somebody else, he has to first have already made Hajj on behalf of himself first. And likewise Umrah. So one cannot make Hajj or Umrah for somebody else until they first made it for themselves. If they made Hajj or Umrah on behalf of somebody else, and they did not make Hajj or Umrah on behalf of themselves first, then it will not be for them. It would count for their own Hajj. It would count for their own Hajj. Even if he did it ignorantly, he didn't know, and he accepted the money, for example, and he went and made Hajj. And then he had the intention to do it for somebody else, but he never made Hajj for himself. It would not be for them, it would be for him. And then he would have to pay that money. He would have to owe that money, and the likes like this. So this is another condition. So this is the case with regards to the one who is alive. As for the one who is not alive, then it's allowed to make Hajj and Umrah on behalf of them. And so this is the case for making Hajj or Umrah on behalf of the one who is alive. On behalf of the one who is alive. So he has to be a Muslim. He has to be intelligent and have his sanity, and also be of the age of puberty and have already made Hajj on himself. And then likewise, that person has to have the permission of the one he's going to make Hajj for. The permission of the one he's going to make Hajj for. It has been collected by Tirmidhi from the hadith of Abi Razin al-Uqaydi radiallahu anhu, that he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, inna abi shaykhun kabir la yastafi'u al-hajja wala al-umrata wala al-dha'an qala fahujja an abika wa'tamir. That Abu Razin al-Uqaydi radiallahu anhu, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my father is old and he's not able to make Hajj nor Umrah, and he's not able to travel. وَلَا ضَعَنْ يَنِي السَّفَرْ. He's not able to travel. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, حُجَّ عَنْ أَبِيكَ وَاعْتَمِرْ. To make Hajj on behalf of your father and make Umrah. This is also from those evidences clarifying that the Umrah is an obligation as well. So in this narration we see that his father is alive. In this narration we see that he's not physically able. And we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered him to make Hajj on his behalf. So therefore it's allowed. And this is from the evidences. And this is from the evidences of that. So it's been collected by Bukhari Muslim from the hadith of Al-Fadl ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, annahu qal, ja'at imra'atun min Khath'am 'ama hajjat al-wada', qalat ya Rasulullah, inna faridatullahi 'ala 'ibadihi fi al-hajj adrakat abi shaykhan kabiran la yastati'u an yastawiya 'ala ar-rahilah. فَهَلْ يَقْضِي عَنْهُ أَنَّ حُجَّ عَنْهُ قَالَ نَعَمْ. A woman, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the year of Hajjatul Wada', and she said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the obligation of Hajj that is upon his slaves has come to my father while he's an old man. He's not able to sit on a riding animal. So would it suffice him if I made Hajj on his behalf? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said yes. This is the issue that had preceded. Another evidence for that. The benefit from this narration here is to clarify that likewise, it's allowed for a woman to make Hajj on behalf of a man. Because this is a woman, she's asking to make Hajj on behalf of her father. And in this narration, likewise, he is alive. If a person had died and he was able to make Hajj financially, and he never did. Or physically and financially, and he had the ability to make Hajj. He was considered from those who were able to make Hajj, and he didn't do that. And he died and he left behind an inheritance. Then before that inheritance is divided amongst those who deserve it, a portion will be taken to make Hajj with. Obligation. It's an obligation. Just like it's an obligation first before that tariqa, the heritage is divided up amongst the inheritors, before that, he must check for debts and the likes like this. If he has debts, they'll be taken first. Likewise, the debt to Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, the debt to Allah for the obligation of making Hajj. It's an obligation to be taken. And somebody will make Hajj on his behalf with that money, or unless one of his family members or somebody who is from his loved ones makes Hajj on his behalf, yani voluntarily, that's allowed likewise. And if not, it's an obligation to take it from the wealth that he leaves, the wealth that he leaves behind. And there's another one, another narration on the authentic on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A woman, she mentioned that her mother had an obligation to make Hajj, and she was not able to, and she died. That her mother had died and never fulfilled the obligation of making Hajj, and she said, "Should I make Hajj on her behalf?" And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Hujji anha, fadainu Allahi haqqan yuqda," and the debt of Allah azza wa jal is more rightful to be. To be paid back, is more rightful to be paid back. So this is the evidences for making Hajj on behalf of another person, whether they are alive or whether they are dead. Whether they are alive or whether they are dead. So this is the issue with regards to Al-Badaniyah. And Al-Mariyah, the people of Nahr, as they mentioned, the financial ability is with regards to Az-Zad wa Rahila. Az-Zad wa Rahila. Az-Zad is the provision. Is the provision, is the finances that one needs from the time he leaves his home to go on his journey until he returns. And likewise, al-rahila, he has to have transportation. So the majority of the scholars, they mentioned that this is what is intended here. Al-qudra al-mariya, al-maqsood minha, al-zadu wa-rahila. Al-zadu wa-rahila. The financial ability, what is intended from this is the financial provision that will carry him from the time he leaves his house until he gets back. And likewise, the rahila, which is the transportation. And every year and every time and every place, it has its specific types of transportation. And likewise, for every class of person as well, it has its types of transportation that are specific for him. So this is also a condition. It's been narrated from Anas radiallahu anhu that a man, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked him, "Mas sabil?" لِمَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ عَلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, for the one who has the ability. So a man, yani he said, what is the way? What is the one who has the ability? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Azad wa rahila, azad wa rahila." And the people of knowledge of hadith, they spoke about the chain of this narration, but Allah knows best. It is considered hasan, and it is good, and it has a number of chains. And this wording here from the hadith of Anas has been collected by Ad-Darqutni, and likewise Ad-Hakim, and considered hasan by Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. So therefore, this is what is intended. Financial ability means he has to have azad. Azad meaning the provision, enough provision that would take him to Hajj and back until he gets home. So if a person, he had the provision to get to Hajj, he had enough finances to get to Hajj. For example, he can buy a one-way ticket. He has enough for a one-way ticket. He doesn't have enough for a two-way ticket. It's not an obligation for him to make Hajj. He doesn't have the ability. He doesn't have the financial ability. He has to. If he has enough to buy a two-way ticket, but then he doesn't have enough to pay for his food or his hotel or his lodging or and the likes like this while on his journey. Likewise, he doesn't have the financial ability. So what is intended from the financial ability, the Zad, is that he has enough wealth that will carry him from the time he leaves all the way through his journey until he returns. You understand this? The people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is the wealth that is intended. This is the wealth that is intended. The amount of wealth that he will be able to leave his home and make Hajj and perform the entire journey until he gets back. And then the condition for this wealth here is that it's going to be excess of what he needs to provide for himself and his family. Of what he needs to provide for himself and his family. So a person wouldn't just say, well, he has enough to make Hajj. That's all he has. He has exactly enough, for example, to go and come back. But he doesn't have enough to pay his rent for the time that he's gone. He doesn't have enough to pay the bills for the time that he's gone. He doesn't have enough to feed his family in his absence, for example. It's not an obligation for him to go. It's not an obligation for him to go. So this money, the condition of this money, it has to be in excess of his daily Rizdaydi needs for those, for himself and for those under his care. For those under his care. Even the people of knowledge, they mentioned, for example, somebody who is a student of knowledge. And there are books that he needs for seeking knowledge. Not extra books that he doesn't necessarily need. And he, not books that he would like to have. Books that he has to have. Books that he has to have. So he has enough. He has enough for all of his needs in general, and enough to make Hajj. And but he needs these particular books. He needs these particular books. So then, if he buys these books, he doesn't have enough to make Hajj. So therefore, it's not an obligation for him to make Hajj, because those books are from his needs. A student of knowledge, he needs books. These are from his needs. Likewise, somebody who has a business. Somebody has a business. He has to take care of his business, his finances that he has to use in order to take care of his businesses. So he has enough money in general to make Hajj, but not enough to keep his business. So either he's going to make Hajj, or he's going to pay those needs that he has for his business to continue. So likewise, this one, it's not an obligation for him to make Hajj, because now if he were to make Hajj, his business is going to fall and lose. So he has enough here, but it's in competition with the other needs that he has. So every individual, his needs are according to his status. A student of knowledge, his needs are not like the needs of a doctor. A man with five children is not like the needs of a bachelor. Or a man with two families is not like the needs of the man with one family. For example, so everyone is accordingly. Some people, they have their needs and their standard of living is higher than others. So all those needs must be met and taken care of, and he must have an excess above that to carry him to and back from Hajj. And then at this time, it will be considered he's financially able. So the financial ability, to summarize again that which has preceded, is that a person, he must have the wealth, enough wealth that will suffice him from the time that he leaves his journey until he returns. And that wealth, it must be in excess of his needs that he must have for himself and for his household and those under his care. And he must leave his family, if he's going to leave, for example, his family or even himself. He leaves and he has more than enough. This amount that he has to take him on this journey and come back is after establishing his needs and the needs of those who are under his care. And if that's not the case, then he does not have the ability financially to make Hajj. Also, from the issues of the ability that the people of knowledge, they mention in these days, is the issue of having a visa, the ta'shira, the issue of having a visa. So even if a person, he had the financial ability, he's very wealthy, for example, and he's strong and healthy, that has the physical ability, but he's not able to get a visa. But he's not able to get a visa. It's not an obligation for him to make Hajj. It's not an obligation for him to make Hajj. And likewise, it's not allowed for him either to get another type of visa, for example. Because the visa to make Hajj is considered a Hajj visa. And the visa, the issue of the visa, the ta'shira, is that it is a contract. It's a contract. A person, he makes a contract and a covenant with that particular country, and he agrees to conditions and terms in order to receive that visa and to enter that country. So to make Hajj, one has to have the Hajj visa. So he can't go get another visa and then sneak in and make Hajj with that other visa. Because the other visa, most of the time, is going to say that it's not allowed to make Hajj. And this visa here does not allow you to make Hajj, or does not allow you to make Umrah, and the likes like this. So therefore, it's not allowed to make Hajj with that visa, because the visa is a covenant and a contract. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Al-Muslimuna ala shurutihim," that the Muslims, they abide by their conditions. And Allah azza wa jal, he says, "Wa awfu bil uqud," that you must fulfill the covenants. And from the traits of the hypocrites is that idha ahada qadr, if he makes a condition, if he makes a covenant with somebody and makes a contract with them, then he betrays it. So performing the great rites of Hajj is not done by betrayal and by violating contracts and by being treacherous and the likes like this and going around corners. This is not the way to perform this great rite. You need to disobey Allah Azza wa Jal. We've seen that the Hajj al-Mabrur, from the greatest conditions of that, is that it's free from sin. So a person, he would not make a contract and an oath and a promise and sign on that and then violate that intentionally and violate that intention, this is a major crime. This is a major sin. This is something major. So that would definitely, if he made hajj like that, would bring great weakness to the reward of that and the benefit and the goodness of that. If it did not violate it, yani for entirety and cause it to be rejected, and Allah knows best. So the point is that from the issue of ability is to have the visa. Also for those who are residents in the al-Mamlaka al-Arabiya al-Saudiya, may Allah protect them. May Allah protect these lands and the lands of the believers. Those who live there, also they have to have what's called tasrih. They also have to have the permission. And it's the permission to make hajj for those who are residents. And all of this issue here, we shouldn't be misled by desires or by whims or by the calls of the people of jahiliyyah and ignorance. Rather, these are for the benefits and the best interest of the believers and the Muslims. And this is in order to control the people and the amount of people, and also to keep organization in the best manner. And I remember myself, whenever I was in Medina several years, alhamdulillah, I never got to make hajj. And not while I was a student. I actually never really tried or made the effort to do that. And for a number of reasons, but there were people who were going instead. And from those who are university students and the likes like this, they're sneaking through hajj. And they have different ways to do that. They'll put their clothes on and get past the miqat and then take the ihram, and then they'll make the expiation, or they'll do other different tricks, or they'll get fake tasrihat, or many different tricks that they would do to get by this. And it happened one time that there was a number of people that had made hajj without permission. And if you remember, there was a great stampede. There was a year, it was maybe 8 years ago or more, approximately, huh? There was a great stampede. There was a great stampede, and many of the hujjaj, they died in that. They died in that. People start, there's too many people in one place at one time, and then if something doesn't go fluently, then there's a lot of crowding and people lose their lives. And this happened before, more than one time in hajj. And so from the wisdom and the benefit of having these visas and these tasrihat and the likes like this, and allowing people to come this year and not that year, is in order to try to control the flow and the movement and the health and the security and the safety of the pilgrims. And the safety of the pilgrims. I myself, I remember now, not even in hajj, not even in hajj, just on a regular jumu'ah, and in Masjid al-Haram, one time I left right after the prayer, the Jumu'ah prayer, to try to leave, and I got caught in traffic, and I was being squeezed very hard. I'm thinking maybe I'm gonna die. I really felt like there's too much. The people start pushing left and right all of a sudden, out of nowhere, and you're not expecting it. And next thing you know, you're caught in a jam, and people are pushing you and about to fall down. And the likes like this, it becomes very scary very quick. So the point is that this is beneficial. And even Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to allow people to come at one time. He is known in his biography that he actually had some effort into organizing who can come, when the women can make tawaf and when the men can make tawaf, and these types of things, in order to help keep the flow and the safety and the security of the pilgrims, and he kept in order. Kept in order. So this is likewise a condition from that. This is likewise a condition for that. So if a person, he's not able to get a hold of the tashira, or he's not able to get a hold of the tasrih, and the likes like this, the visa, he's not able to do that, his name didn't come up, so on and so forth, then it's not an obligation upon him. It's not an obligation upon him. And he's not going to be held accountable for that, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. After this, there's what is considered either some of the people of knowledge, they'll consider a sixth condition, or they'll consider it from the conditions of al-istita'a, which is specific to the woman, and that is that she will have along with her a mahram, that she has to have a mahram. So the woman who does not have the mahram, it's not obligatory for her to make hajj. And what is intended by the mahram, yani the one that is mutawa', the one that is agreeing to go with her. Yani maybe she has a mahram, but he does not agree, that he refuses to go with her. He refuses to go with her. So therefore, it's not obligatory for her to go. So the one who has a mahram, the woman who has a mahram, and he has agreed to go with her, and she has these other conditions met, then it will be an obligation for her to go. But there are details with regards to this particular issue likewise, and we take them inshallah, in the class tomorrow. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.